-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of -3, presented as always by Omaha. We're ready to roll into a hot sports weekend here. Baseball now off the menu, but everything else is available for you. Let's get into as much of it as we possibly can with our main men. As always, Eddie Spaghetti sitting there behind the glass, and from his Hollywood manse ruling over all his show business, it's Kevin Hench. What's the poop, fella? How are you?
Oh, I'm good, man. I'm you know, there's like a cumulative effect of, we had a lot of birthdays. We had Halloween, obviously election night, it's the World Series. Like I'm feeling gassed, man. I do not have the legs I used to have.
Get a couple of weeks of downtime, just drinking some football, relax, you know, you don't have to get too worked up about anything in the NBA. As a matter of fact, I was going to say the NHL, but I was legit nervous for a November NHL game for my favorite hockey team. The losing streak of 7 had officially gotten to be too much, and so I was relieved to see my favorite team, the Penguins, defeat the Capitals the other night. But otherwise, yes, just some football. Then we'll have a big feast. Get ramped up. I already talked about it last week as we jump into our GOAT and GOAT of the week here, Kevin Hench. I'll let you start us off. Last week, I'll remind you, the GOAT of the week, nay, the month, may well be the trio of games that await our eyeballs on Thanksgiving. A terrific trio of games, although maybe injured by the injury to Josh Allen's elbow, and that has bigger import than just our Thanksgiving viewing habits. Maybe for the entire playoff picture, the entire AFC, certainly the AFC East. Anyhow, I don't want to tip your hand. I want to hear what you have to say. Your GOAT and GOAT of the week, and then we'll do our best bets for the weekend. Take us away there, Kevin.
Well, my good GOAT, it's just so perfect because last week on this program, I threw out, what would the draft order be if that quarterback class had to be done again? And Spaghetti got the answer right. Justin Fields would be the top picked quarterback of those 5 guys. And I feel more confident than ever that would be the case. And his 3 touchdown pass, 178 yards rushing with a TD, 12 yards a carry. I mean, on a team that's not trying, very Lamar-esque, definitely my single-handedly won my super flex league game. The only league I'm going to the playoffs in fantasy. That Justin Fields, my GOAT. My good GOAT of the week by a mile.
I like it. May I say, let me just play devil's Dameshek to that one. I feel like this is going to be around the time, I don't remember what year that was, that LeBron James was drafted and then Carmelo Anthony was drafted right after him. What would that be? 2006? Maybe even further back than that. But anyhow.
2003.
Three, right. Boy, it doesn't feel like Syracuse with Carmelo winning the national championship was almost 20 years ago, but I guess it was. We're old now. But yeah, I feel like this take, with all respect to Justin Fields, who is tracking towards being a good NFL quarterback, who, by the way, and I said that when he was still at Ohio State, what are we talking about? The people are down on this guy. I still think Trevor Lawrence ends up winning the day there. I just am riding the confidence of scouts. They don't get that wrong. And Trevor Lawrence looked good himself last week. So I think Lawrence ends up winning that one out. But okay, good for you. Pat yourself on the back.
Okay, now this is a perfect segue because, you know, in this negative world, we always want to spend a little more time on the bad goats. So my GOAT involves Trevor Lawrence. I think the Jags, I just saw the graphic. They were either 0-161 all time or 1-161 all time. I don't know if the 1 was the game down 17 points against the Raiders. They beat the Raiders. So the Raiders have now lost a 20-point lead to the not very good Cardinals. a 17-point lead to the 3-6 Jaguars. And of course, we remember 3rd-and-1, Josh Jacobs averaging 7.5 yards a carry against the Chiefs, didn't touch the ball on 3rd-and-1 or 4th-and-1. Okay, so maybe Josh McDaniels is not a good NFL coach. Ironically, my bad goat was going to be Frank Reich, but Irsay kind of took care of that. If he made it to this recording, I was going to say how horribly Reich handled the Ellinger Ryan thing. Obviously, no good options there, but don't box yourself in by saying, I like what I see from this guy. He's the future. Like Matt Ryan, whether he's hurt or not, is not going to play. You're like, just go like Matt can't go this week, so we're going to go this way. And then when the guy's terrible, give yourself some options. Once you've said, this is how I evaluate quarterback play in practice, you're asking to be fired. But anyway, Frank Reich couldn't be my bad goat because he was Irsay's bad goat. So then
that would be mean-spirited, right?
I know. So then I had to pivot to the guy who turned his car around on the way to the airport. The whole reason Frank Reich was the coach of the Colts to get fired by the Colts is because Josh McDaniels turned the job down after accepting the job. And he was apparently biding his time for a better opportunity. Well, you got it, buddy. You're the man. And you're now 7-23 in your last 30 games as an NFL head coach. And then even more ironically, those two teams play each other this week. The team he spurned with no ability to move the football coming in to play the Raiders in the bad go-to-palooza in the desert.
I love it. And I also think I'm now on the record. I said it on Extra Points as we made our NFL picks for the upcoming week. I think the Colts winning that game is plausible. I know that the Colts are an atrocity. I know Sam Ellinger is their starting quarterback, weirdly, still. I was surprised Jeff Saturday didn't say, let's start fresh. Obviously, the guy who's a borderline Hall of Famer should be playing for us instead of this guy who has no chance of being a long-term NFL starter. Let's go with that and put number two under center. Either way, to your point about Josh McDaniels, isn't he feeling the weight of the world right now? Ooh. Imagine if they fall behind to Jeff Saturday's Indianapolis Colts at some point. That pressure is going to be grim on that guy. And it also begs the longstanding question, what in the hell is Bill Belichick up to? What does he not tell? What is the secret ingredient that it's like that old thing, like, this old guy taught me all his tricks. And then the old guy in the movie goes like, not all my tricks. But really, what is the trick that Bill Belichick isn't sharing with every one of his assistant coaches? Because obviously he's holding something back because it don't work wherever else anyone goes.
It's so maddening, right? Because like, obviously you're in the conference room with him. You're on the field with him. You're standing next to him. The same information is going through both your headsets and somehow a completely non-transferable ability with just a coaching tree abomination, right? Almost uniformly across the board, failing everywhere they go. It's like I had Barack Obama went out on the campaign trail last week trying to drag the party across the finish line. And I'm watching him and it's like the Belichick thing. You're like, nobody can come close to this. No, nobody can just watch game film of Barack Obama and just copy him, like sound like him, get the cadence down, like build to a crescendo. Like, nope, just an ocean of zeros with no charisma. There's no 1A. There's no 1B. There's nobody remotely close to him. He's like, he's in retirement. He hasn't been working out. He just wanders up to a microphone and destroys for 40 minutes. And they haven't groomed anyone to fill that vacuum. And yeah, Belichick.
I like that analogy. That's good.
There's some secret sauce that Belichick.
I was going to say that Belichick, like, he should just cut to the chase and save Bob Kraft some loot and just say, like, if you haven't figured it out by now, old man, I don't actually need these assistants. I'm just going to do it all myself. I don't know why we need these figureheads
doing
to
that,
populate
right?
the sideline. You know why he's doing Matt it? Patricia. You know why he's doing it? I just figured he's playing 4D chess. He's creating these phonies behind him, And then he knows that the other 31 franchises will be too dumb to catch on. And then he lets them go out into the world because he knows that they're going to fail and therefore boost his own chances of winning another division.
He's already done that with the guy allegedly calling the plays. So it's going to be hard for them to fall for the Patricia thing twice. But like when they, you know, when they zoom in on Patricia, he's like senior football advisor or something. Like the lengths they're going to not call him offensive coordinator. But that's to prove your point. It's like, it doesn't matter what these guys are called or what they allegedly do. I'm doing the whole thing.
Right. And, really laid bare by like, he's a defensive wizard and he's the one who helped scheme up stopping that high octane LA Rams offense with Jared Goff in the Super Bowl 3 or 4 years ago. And then he goes off to Detroit and falls on his face embarrassingly. Now he's an offensive wizard. And hear me now, believe me later, some other NFL team will give him another shot, just like they did Josh McDaniels. And maybe it won't be that big a surprise if it's the Detroit Lions. Yeah, we're hiring Matt Patricia, offensive wizard. Right. Anyway, Eddie Spaghetti, take it away. Your GOAT and your GOAT of the week.
Let me squeeze in a quick break here. Hey, listen up, sports fan. This message is for you. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, mazel tov. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks, game tickets, experiences, and more. And because Caesar plays by the rules, here comes the lengthy, responsible gaming disclaimer. 21 and over, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or our nation's capital. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I'll start with my bad GOAT, and me and Chuck were talking about this before, but the NBA released, new city jerseys or something they're calling like that. And it's, look, the NHL put out the reverse retros, and I would say all but maybe a handful were good. This is the exact opposite. The NBA did a terrible job here. They want to just make a quick buck. Most of these jerseys are just bizarre color schemes. They don't even belong to the team. Some are just the basic black or white, which is not really changing from the, or, you know, the whole point of this is to use different designs and features and whatnot. But these are as bad as it gets. There's maybe two or three I could stomach. I think the NBA needs to cool with jerseys. And like Sal mentioned to us doing the race to 10 the other night with everyone, it's like you don't even know which teams are playing because you can't tell from the different teams because of all the new uniforms they have. So I just think they need to cool it with what they're doing there. It's really, really awful. And I'm Sheck may have some takes on this, but my good take is
obviously, what I say goes in the world of uniforms. I am an astute non-parallel, but I think we can all agree that it crosses a line that you don't get to one day wake up and be like, yeah, I know what our team colors are, but here are new uniforms that have nothing to do with that color scheme, and here's a brand new color scheme. That's outrageous. Now, listen, if you can explain to me that deep in your history, like the Philadelphia Eagles used to wear powder blue and gold, like, okay, I'll be loose about it. I'll allow you to break those out once in a while. But you don't just get to do what the Buffalo Sabres are doing in the NHL. I hear you on the NBA, but the Sabres are going back to, like, they're blue and gold. And then one day, like 20 years ago, they're like, nope, now we're black and red. To hell with that. You're right until you wear your team colors. Even worse than that one, I can make it my go this week and for all the time. The worst one of those of all time. In our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the team is named the Capitals. One day, they set aside red, white, and blue in favor of teal, black, and gold. Shame the devil.
Well, it's funny, real quick, because you mentioned our nation's capital. So maybe we'll have time to talk about the district attorney in their nation's capital joining the ranks of everybody in the world who hates Daniel Snyder. I just love that everyone's adding their name to the thing. Could the DA in Miami, because it's a consumer protection lawsuit in D.C., could the DA in Miami sue the Heat as a consumer protection move for those Sherbert abominations? Like, this seems like an attack on the fans. Those are the worst of all.
That's right. It's sort of like, you know, I feel as one of society's foremost empaths, I felt bad in the past week for Houston Astros fans, or I should say I felt happy for them, because you can hate Jose Altuve and anybody else on the Astros all you want, but it did put the Astros fans in a weird spot of like, we didn't do anything. What do you want us to do? Stop rooting for our baseball team? Like, we can't abandon them. This is the premise of living in Houston, Texas, is that we have a local baseball team. The rest of the baseball world wants us to pretend that we hate them now. Like, we didn't do anything wrong. We just wanted to cheer for our guys. So I was happy at least for them, even if you hate the organization. I'm happy for the team. Same thing with these bum uniforms. Like, I have to cheer for this now? Like, I just wanted to cheer for my local sports collective, and now you're putting me in a weird spot, team.
Yeah, you take your kid to his first game, and they're wearing those uniforms. Like, I don't know.
Wait, I thought we were going to be our team. No, I know that's them, but...
All right, Spaghetti.
Go ahead, Spaghetti, your other goat.
So that's bad goat, good goat.
Bad goat. Good goat now, and I'm going with this team for two reasons, and that is my Notre Dame Fighting Irish, and I'm very happy over a great win. Every big matchup they had this year, they've pretty much come to play. They rise to the occasion. So that was great to see a dominant home victory over Clemson with my family. That's number one reason. Number two reason, and this could lead maybe into a college football discussion, but I'm very glad that we no longer have to rank Clemson high, have to pretend Clemson's a playoff team, have to say that the ACC is a good conference. Notre Dame has beaten the last 27 ACC opponents in regular season play. So that's another thing, too, with you want them to join a conference, they dominate that conference. Not a good conference. Clemson's not a good team. Clemson's clearly dealing with some quarterback issues, and they put in the freshman, throws a pick immediately. DJ Ewan from a guy that would have been a high draft pick to who really knows now. And they're out of the picture, which then leads, you know, to the conversation to maybe your Oregons, your TCUs, your Tennessees. That'll be a lot more fun than having to just put Clemson in because they are the I guess the top team in a very, very, very weak conference.
I like it. But I have to now add a late goat to my goat and goat of the week. Just pencil this one in here at the 11th hour. Eddie Spaghetti, goat of the week. You turned your back on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. You said they stink. Now you're in support of them again?
I mean, I never said it's a very strange year. I mean, you lose to Marshall, and you lose even worse Stanford at home. Stanford's a brutal team, but like every big game they had to play, whether it's Ohio State having a lead in the second half, they played them close. BYU ranked opponent, neutral site, beat them. Syracuse ranked opponent at Syracuse, beat them. Clemson, number four team in the country, beat them. Like every big game they have performed well. So they kind of rise to the occasion, but then they will also play down in their competition. The team is not good. So I'm used to Notre Dame that's the last, I believe, eight seasons they've finished at or above their initial preseason poll, and they've been a team that's fortunate enough to make the playoffs. This year is not going to happen, so it's a little bit of a step back. But hey, listen, new coach dealing with obviously a quarterback change. So
listen, it's between you and your God, but when you stood up there with the man in the Catholic collar and got married to Notre Dame, he said better or worse. They were a little worse this year, and you turned your back on them.
This raises an interesting question as to which fan you feel more obliged to have an intervention with. Okay, so Spaghetti is like his graph with the Fighting Irish is just right in sync with their performance. Like, he's angry at them when they're losing these terrible games, and he's now falling back. He's remembering why he married them. He's falling back in love with them. Mm-hmm. We're all rooting for Freeman. So so that tracks. Like, I'm like, I understand that Spaghetti said some mean things, and now he's saying some nice things. That tracks. Here's what doesn't track. A guy who's like, hey, man, year 17 for these three Penguin stars, I feel really confident that we're going to make a run. And you're like, that team blows, Sheck. And you're like, no, they don't, man. This Hall of Fame, last rodeo, they're going to – and you're like – They had a back-to-back games where they were -9 in the third period. Like, your team is ancient. They're gonna fall. They're never gonna have the legs to make a run. And you're still like, oh my God, thank God they didn't lose their eighth game in a row. And Spaghetti and I are just wondering, like, when do we have to strap Check to a chair and tell him it's over? Like, you're so delusional about these three guys and their capacity to forget lift the cup. Like, they can't lift a cup, like a red solo cup. They're so physically diminished. How say you?
Shame on you. I think here's what I'll say in response to that senseless attack on the millennium's greatest NHL team and starring the millennium's greatest player. He is, let me make an analogy for you that you will really hate, Hedge. Star Wars, because you ain't a Star Wars guy, because you're too cool for school. You know, Luke Skywalker is Sidney Crosby. Sidney Crosby is Luke Skywalker. He's the through line in the Star Wars universe. Who are two of his best pals? R2-D2 and C-3PO. That's what Geno Malkin and Chris Letang are. Okay, they're a little beaten up. They're a little worse for wear. But you know what? They win more often than not. And they screw up some of the time. But they're sassy. And that goes a long way. And I will say, even in victory in our nation's capital on Wednesday night, they stand out. It's a weird formula that they continue to win more than they lose with, which is their head coach, Mike Sullivan, has a very disciplined structure that he wants the team to play with. The problem is that 18 of the 20 guys are willing to do that, but those two guys are not. So you have these two stars. It's sort of like the Jimmy Johnson away from the field rules. Like, yeah, Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman can do one thing. You bum special teamers better not play ball the way they're doing it. It's the same sort of thing. It's like, what Mike Sullivan going to do? Like, your dreadful risk-taking playmaking in the neutral zone that turns the puck over constantly and gives our foes great chances. It's kind of like R2-D2 and C-3PO. It's like, I can't stay mad at you guys. You're icons after all, and you're fun guys. That's where I come down on these Penguins, and I'm not closing the book. It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Right, Spaghetti.
Because we haven't alienated enough listeners with hockey. I know Rust never sleeps, but is he slow? Is he not fast?
No, he's fast.
That's what I thought. And yet, when Hampus Lindholm takes the puck behind his own net and Rust is in hot pursuit, he never gains a stride on Lindholm. Lindholm skates with the puck the length of the ice and buries it to win in overtime. And I'm like, why is Rust not reeling him in? I mean, maybe he was gassed.
I don't know the answer to that. And I'm not here to talk about a hockey game that was played more than a week ago. That's for GD.
Well, I'm just trying to help you prepare for the rest of the terrible season. Star Wars, the Phantom Playoffs. It's not
you. Do you realize? Are you putting your foot down here? Or are you just trying to get my goat during goat and goat of the week here? Because if you really think,
I'm always just trying to get your goat. But the Penguins are not.
Okay, that's fair. But do you? But are you going to say here and now, because you can make the bet right now, Sal's in on it, Spaghetti's in on it. Why don't you get in with all your good friends there and bet the Penguins to miss the playoffs? Let's see how it works out for you.
All right. Will do.
You're rich. Why don't you put down some of your rich man money against the Penguins?
Excited. And
root against joy. That's what you root against when you root against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I just don't want to see those three brittle guys get hurt in the playoffs. It's really compassion.
Yeah, you know what?
All right,
screw. And I say nice things about your decidedly unlikable collection of hockey players. I even call them Hall of Famers when people even want to argue.
Chucky Brightlights coming back. Bruins getting a big piece back. The best record in hockey.
All right. Eddie Spaghetti, your other goat?
He did both. Are you so?
Oh, he did them both.
Are you so rattled? You're so rattled by coming to terms.
Oh, okay, okay.
You're so rattled coming to terms with your hockey team, you can't even remember what just happened three minutes ago.
Listen, don't you see I've already won? I've already won. They've won cups. Now they're in pursuit of something else. History. Maybe it doesn't end in a championship, but the history of them being together, that trio for as long as they will be something to celebrate. It's something to celebrate right now.
The next number one draft pick to carry them into the future.
What a creep. All right. My goat of the week is an unironic one. I love this guy, that Tennessee football fan guy who Peyton Manning brought out at the Country Music Awards earlier in the week. That guy who does that jig clogging dance to the Rocky Top song, and he's got kind of long hair and a beard, and he's a youngish guy, and he just comes out and he clogs around the stage, and he's not doing it as a bit. He's not doing it for a laugh with his frat brothers. He doesn't go back to Sigma Chi and be like, you see what I did? I did that silly dance. You can tell he is a ray of sunshine in our too dark world. I love that guy unironically. Keep on dancing. And he almost makes me want the Vols to make the playoffs, which I don't, because of course, philosophically, you can't put a team that can't even win its own division, that is within a conference, into a Final Four. This is not a Final Eight or Final 12. There are four total spots, but you're going to put the third place team by ranking within the SEC into the Final Four? It makes no GD sense. So I would be sick, but for that guy, if it made him happy and made him do that jig for all of us again, maybe I can bend the rules for him.
All right.
Now,
bad goat.
Speaking of SEC, I have Bulldogs times two on my brain. First of all, Spaghetti talked about uniforms a second ago. What plagues the SEC in terms of aesthetics is that too many of the teams wear maroon and white. They all, I mean, like LSU doesn't and Georgia doesn't, but there's a plague of like, think about A&M and Alabama and Mississippi State, and they all, like when they play each other, they all, Arkansas, they all have the same uniforms on. I can barely tell one from the other. But Bulldogs, in the SEC, you have two teams named Bulldogs. That's like the CFL, which was more ridiculous when they had Rough Riders, and there were eight total teams, so not as ridiculous. So maybe I have dogs on my main. And speaking of dogs, underdog, I like Mississippi State this weekend plus 16. Do with that what you will, but maybe it's the dogs I have on my brain. But I know I'm a contrarian on this one, and I seem curmudgeonly for it, but I think it's a weird move to get a dog if you're a human being. Don't we have enough to deal with, enough tragedy, which is just the structure of having living in a mortal coil, that we are brought onto this earth by our elders, and then if things go right, they pass away before we do, and so goes the circle of life, and go watch The Lion King and all of that stuff. But when you inject a dog into the mix, now you're introducing a creature who you're going to care about deeply, but that you hope, if things go well, is going to die sooner than you. Why are you putting that on yourself, everybody?
Well, forget about yourself. What about your kids? I mean,
Right.
That's why we've we've perfected this. There's a way around this problem. Like, we're a dog family, but what we do is we have dogs we hate. So this way, you know, like, Gigi couldn't be more excited for Louis to cast off this mortal coil. Then she can get a Pomeranian. So I like having two big, loud dogs. I just think, you know, you're going to come rob the place. You hear these guys, you're like, F it. I'm going to move next door, rob our neighbors. These dogs, you know, if it's a transactional
relationship, that I can dig that. I'm talking about when you develop an emotional bond and then, you know, like, don't get too attached, kids, because Poochie here ain't in for the long haul. And that's a good thing.
No, we
what?
Had to,
what sense does that make?
We had to bring the guy to the house to put the needle in Cookie on the back patio. That was a rough day.
On the back patio. Yeah. Why that look?
Hey guys, come say goodbye
to Cookie. Environment.
Say goodbye to Cookie. Where's she going? She's going far
away.
We're
jumping into the pool though, Dad. We're gonna have a swim in Cookie's
honor. All right, we'll give Cookie one last swim. One last swim with her hip dysplasia.
I don't understand. Well, you did take a glancing shot at them, but of course the goat that would rise above everybody else is the ongoing embarrassment. But it's almost so ridiculous now for all the darkness around the Washington Commanders. But it's so absurd, it feels almost like the premise of a comedy, of a screenplay that Kevin Hench might pen. Like,
well, we're obviously
bad news bears. Forget about this. This is a pro football team.
We're into the major league, right? Like, everyone needs him to sell. Every Commander fan, every NFL fan, everybody hates this guy. Every Virginia state legislator, everybody says, like, we'll build a stadium, get lost. Like, everyone needs this guy to get lost. What's so great about this lawsuit, and it seems like consumer protection seems like a reach, but whatever, as long as they're depositions that we have something to talk about. But they named Goodell, right? They named Goodell in the suit. And this is the problem that now Goodell. So when Cassidy Hutchinson said, you know, testifies, and then the Secret Service guys go, she's lying. She's lying. And you're like, oh, okay, great. I'm glad you guys are willing to step up under oath and tell us she's, oh, no, not under oath. We're not willing. Oh, Cassidy Hutchinson just loves death threats. That's why she's doing this for nothing, for no reason. She just loves getting death threats. So she's just a psychopath. And then it's like, okay, guys, let's hear your side of the story. Now we're cool. We're just going to leak it to the Washington Post. We're not going to do anything under oath. You're like, oh, okay, we know you're lying. So now we know you're lying and she's telling the truth, which is why we have something called under oath and perjury. Thank you for your time, scumbags. Appreciate it. Goodell is now in the same problem, right? He's like, okay, Beth Wilkinson, do not put in writing what we all know you invariably found. I can't bury this. I can't hide this if you put it in writing. So I'm going to need an oral report with no recorders in the room because I don't want to go through this Belichick tape thing again. I can't have hard copies of anything around that can later be subpoenaed. So then the district attorney in D.C. is like, hey, yeah, Goodell, that cover up, no good for the consumers. That cover up, you like, and it's like, so now Goodell, who just wants nothing more than Daniel Snyder to go away, is now going to be being deposed. Why an oral report? This seems very weird. Why wouldn't you just have her put all her findings in a huge document? I learn better by hearing. I'm not a great reader. What's he going to say? So anyway, and now it feels
like.
He wanted
to do the thing of like, it felt like what, when I saw that the DA was about to announce something earlier in the week, it suddenly occurred to me, oh, this is Goodell's dream, right? This is what he wants. He can't have his fingerprints on it. He wants a third party to jump in and make Daniel Snyder go away, right? But now he, I mean, it was a really tough needle to thread that he was trying to go for. And I guess he's going to get it out anyway, but I think this is what they wanted,
right? It does have this feeling like that Snyder is just being cornered. It's kind of ironic as you look at this crazy coordinated full court kill shot that Rupert Murdoch is executing on Trump. Like, it's like, I want everyone on the same page. That guy's a loser. Wall Street Journal editorial, New York Post front page, Fox News, kill this. You know, they're like, it is a full, like, and so obviously Goodell wants that done to Daniel Snyder, as everybody does. And now Snyder might be in that position where he goes, okay, I'll sell the team. Can everyone get off my back now? And the DA is going to go, no, we don't care. We want, like, it's just, it's so diabolically perfect. Like, all right, I'll sell. It's like, oh, that's what Goodell wants. I'm here for something else. I want several $100 million for the people you defrauded. Like, wow. Anyway, it's delightful. It is. Couldn't be. I mean, there are a lot of good, like you were saying about the Astros, there are a lot of good people who root for that team who deserve to be free of this monster and have the team restored to its former glory. But in the meantime, those of us who hate Daniel Snyder, which I think is only 99.9%. Well, I'm sure, actually, never mind. I'm sure Tanya can't stand him either. It's probably 100%. We can just get the popcorn out and enjoy this demise.
That's an interesting thing. What's become anti-hero. I'm not telling you guys anything. Spaghetti loves his 21st century TV shows, and hench, obviously, you write 21st century TV shows. But the anti-hero has kind of emerged, and a new wrinkle from Tony Soprano and Don Draper and Breaking Bad and all those guys, these flawed people that we're rooting for. What's a newer thing in the last decade or so is that now villains all have a reason that you can kind of relate to. I know that's an old thing, like Spider-Man's foes, I think, right? Or they're kind of, generally speaking, you would say, like, they're tragic. The reason that they became a villain is for tragic backstory reasons. And so is true with Darth Vader, I guess, as well, to bring it back to Star Wars stuff. This is old school bad guy. This is like Wicked Witch of the West kind of stuff, right? I haven't heard anything, unless I'm missing it, that's like, yeah, but you got to give Dan Snyder a break because. Like, I haven't heard one person mount that case, right? No, he is across the board, like, I mean, well, he's way down with the all-time worst.
Exactly. Like, you know, obviously, even the most virulent Trump haters had to admit that was funny when he said that to Jeb Bush. Like, that was just legitimately funny for someone to say you're low energy, get off the stage in a presidential debate. Like, nobody had ever seen anything like it. Like, Daniel Snyder's never made anyone laugh. He's never said anything funny or interesting. Like, he's just, yeah, there's nobody. What are his character witnesses even going to say about him? Is, you know, anyway. So that
makes it worth the watch. I'm looking forward to it. So there ends our goat and goats of the week.
I got an honorary goat. An honorary goat. This is, because I'm a storyteller, but I like to think this is my honorary goat, which is just hatched from my own imagination. Someone who works pretty high up in the NFL scheduling office. We don't know their names, but this person's pretty high up. I like to think they had an 18-month back and forth with Amazon over a missing package. Like, they had a year and a half of their life was like, I paid for it. It never came. You know, where is my thing? We sent it. Like, just 18 months ruining this person's life. And then they ultimately have control of which games Jeff Bezos gets on Thursday night. Like, this is an angry NFL scheduling employee. Cause I mean, every week we go through this where we're like, just luck of the draw, there's going to be a good Thursday night game, right? Eagles, Texans, what the hell? Worst team in the league against the best team in the league? And then I was like, so I'm like, of course, come Thursday, I'm always like kind of excited. Like, let's see if there's a game that you know, can make even Kirk Herbstreit interesting. Let's see. Oh, Falcons, Panthers. This disgruntled NFL scheduling employee is like, I'm going to imagine – it's possible that these are the only football games Bezos has ever watched. What am I paying for? This is the worst entertainment. This is so much worse than Enola Holmes. Why would anyone watch this?
It's funny. I hadn't thought about this. What you're getting at there is, first of all, I've laughed about it because I know I'm up on Mount Pius about it. I don't love Al Michaels belly aching for the millions of dollars. Like every game we have to hear about, oh, poor Kirk Herbstreit's got a tough travel schedule coming up. Yeah, to watch football games, to go to fun places and talk about football and then watch those games. And they're always belly aching, those two, about poor them that they have to watch these bum games. Poor us that have to watch them. But Bezos is reportedly in on trying to buy these commies as soon as they come available. Wonder if this spooks him, or if he buys them because if he's running the show at Amazon, aren't the other 31 teams going to be like, whoa, 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 why are all the good games now on Thursday night? Isn't that going to be the result? I wonder if that will be a legit conflict of interest.
I'll buy the team. I'll put everyone out of their misery. I'll pay top dollar for the team, but I need assurances that my team will not be on Thursday night. My super not interesting team. I won't be saddled.
Maybe his first move will be hiring offensive guru Matt Patricia to show he's plugged in on pro football. All right, so thus ends our Goat and Goat. I do have to say, I should really make it top of the show. The Shecky Awards, the granddaddy of all Shecky categories, is, of course, Fruit of the Year. This deserves headlines, not middle of the show kind of stuff. But I'm going to say, call this, you know, whip over carrot kind of stuff, me sending a threat, a message to the fruit world. I've done it before, and it has yielded better results. Call it whatever you want. I'm going to say it right now. Envy Apple, out of contention for Fruit of the Year. The dynasty of fruit this millennium is out of contention. You have no chance of winning, Envy Apple, and you did it to yourself with your lousy product this year. You think you can just live off of passing? Well, same as Alabama. Like, hey, we beat Alabama. Yeah, well, this version of Alabama ain't that good. Are we supposed to sing songs about it? Same goes for you, Envy Apple. You're not the standard by which fruits are judged anymore. Your past version, maybe, not your 2022 version. Shame the devil.
See, Spaghetti. Right,
now let's
move ahead.
So,
Spaghetti, we see that he conceptually, he can understand what's going on with the Penguins. Right. He can understand it in Apple form, but so we can get him there. We can get him that.
All right. You want to make a bet? Go ahead. You think Pasternak is going to keep you? This is one you've wanted to do. You've texted me and Spaghetti. Let's get a little side bet three way here.
Yeah.
Spaghetti gets the bread man.
Yep.
You get Pasternak. I get 87. And that's it. And just raw
Art
end of season highest, point total.
Highest ranked in the Art Ross rankings. Wins.
Okay.
We can determine
what's the
denomination that works for all of us. They're all healthy right now, right?
Correct. Okay.
What works?
Yes. You know what's funny?
Inch is rich if he hasn't mentioned it, Spaghetti. So you decide.
But if we had a set odds to that, though, like, would Breadman be the favorite?
I think so.
Just based off last year?
I think so.
I think I'd be the favorite. Yeah. I'd probably be minus something. Yeah.
It's interesting because we've got two guys who are nicknamed after empty carbohydrates and a third guy who plays in the third period like he's eaten a bunch of empty carbohydrates.
I don't know why you would go after the face of the game. He's a charming guy. He's the anti-Dan Snyder. Everybody's on board with him. What are we, down on 87? Don't you see what he's done for the game? You think ESPN and
he or whatever?
If it weren't for 87?
I watched the game recently where he was minus four. Maybe he looked great. I don't know, but you've come around. Listen, with the Envy Apple.
He's a champion three times over. You think he has any interest in putting out in November? Come on, he's working up towards something more important there.
Okay, all right. Well, this will be fun.
Okay, so we're going to make a side bet. We'll figure out the value for that. Best bets, as I do, as we launch into them, I'll give you my college football plays. I went 6-2 last week, so better than usual. So listen up here. I told you I'm going with the Bulldogs that are the underdog here against the favored dogs that are the Bulldogs from Athens, Georgia. Mississippi State, I have the feeling that this is one of those Mike Leach kind of games. The season is worthwhile if they show up for this one. 16 it's down to. I had it at plus 16.5, plus 16. Mississippi State, Penn State, lay the 10.5. This is a Jimmy Franklin special that he wins these games and wins them handily. against secondary competition. He just doesn't win the big games. Colorado USC under 66.5. Colorado stinks. That means the Trojans would have to carry the day. They won't get it to that high. Pitt UVA over 40. I'm going to play that one. I think Pitt is starting to get it going a little bit again now that their season has been rendered mostly meaningless. Indiana Ohio State, this is the play of the week. Over 57.5. The CJ Stroud needs a big game. The Hoosiers scratch out enough points to get you over 57.5. I guess semi-bold, it stands out. 7 points the Longhorns are giving to undefeated TCU. That seems weird to me. I say take the weird number and take the Longhorns minus the 7, and then TCU and the Longhorns go over 65. Those are my college plays. Let's get into it. What stands out to you, Kevin Hench, this weekend?
For, you know, the aforementioned Bad Goat Bowl in Vegas, that number is 42.5. And it's like Waller and Renfro are headed to IR. The Colts don't have a quarterback. How that game would get over 40, I have no idea. So take under 42.5 just jumps out at me. Then two games, I'm very high on the Niners. And angry at the Chargers, although, you know, those injuries are no fault of their own. But I think Niners, Chargers, it's a big number, but I think there's a big gap between those two teams, too. And I think this is where you see it manifest. I think the Niners will go to 3-0 against Los Angeles. They'll own LA.
That's one of my best bets, too. I'm with you on that one. It stands out as, again, 7 points ain't jive, but I think the Niners in the back half of this season emerge as one of the real contenders out of the NFC. So I'm with you.
And then this one is a little cutting against the grain, a little counterintuitive maybe. But the logic I'm using is that all Tom Brady, as we've been talking about all 2022, all he wants is to get away from that family. So I think this game being in Munich is exactly what he needs to return to form. We saw a little bit of it at the end of the Rams game. It's not smoke and mirrors in Seattle. That's a pretty good team, but Bucks giving 2.5 in Munich, Tom Brady enjoying some peace overseas. I like the Bucks, who are going to somehow win that division. And the Seahawks are not going to win their division. And I think that this is a game that will send those two teams more in the direction where they belong. The other question I had, so that's my
answer. I want to jump in on that one to say that this is a classic weird number. There is no reason, if you've watched the two teams play so far this season, that the Seahawks would be getting points from that team. It makes zero sense. Ergo, I have to take that team that's given the points. It makes what explanation? And the other thing, as much as I've talked bad about Brady, about how lousy he's been, he's either PO'd or more regularly this season just feels completely apathetic. I think the hug with Byron Leftwich at the end of that game, that I felt like there was fire, there was passion there, and maybe this launches them to better days and a better second half of the season. So I'm going to take the Bucks. I'm with you there over there in Germany.
Okay, and then this is more just a question for you college football experts. Did I see this right? Lane Kiffin getting 12 at home against a not very good Alabama team? Why is that? Is there a big injury or what? That number seems crazy, right?
Spaghetti, how say you on that? I agree, but Sal jumped in on extra points to announce that here comes Bama and they're going to make a run at the playoff. And It kind of makes sense that they could get in there into the title game as long as LSU loses. But I thought that number was bizarre myself. Spaghetti, how say
you? I'm with Sal. I'm 100% with Sal on that. I think, Alabama has more talent there. They're a more talented team. Lane Kiffin's done this before, too, where he's had teams that have had success in the regular season, but anytime it's a really, really big game, he does not win it, or they'll stumble with a bad loss. I just think, Alabama, LSU was better than I thought. I said that it was a joke that they were ranked top 10. I think Alabama also caught a very good Tennessee team. Like, people have to stop getting down on teams because of a loss. Like Tennessee is still very, very good, and they beat a very good Alabama team with a five-star quarterback who could go top three in the draft. I think Alabama will win this game and remind you who the, you know, one of the, he's the better coach, Nick Saban, than Lane Kiffin. He wants to beat a guy that, you know, is part of his staff. It's a lot of points for a reason, I think. So I'm kind of with Sal.
I don't know. You look at the A&M game.
I like where your head's at.
Tennessee and LSU might be good, but A&M's not good. And, you know, the other thing about Bama is, like, I think we just become so conditioned to Alabama having two wide receivers who are both better than any receiver on our NFL teams, right? I mean, you know, certainly me and Spaghetti have been going through that for quite a long time. Shaq, you've had a couple of decent receivers, but, like, it's, you know – you know, whether it's Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Amari Cooper, Devontae Smith, Jameson Williams, John Mechie, like the Bama receivers are, you know, Jalen Waddle, like they're just Jerry Jeudy. They're just sending out guys that are better than your team's wide receivers. And this year I was combing through the draft board, with all the wide receivers. And it's like, where are the Alabama guys? When, you know, they're not projected to go in at all, they're not a first round wide receiver on that squad. So anyway, I defer to you guys. I'm glad you disagree, but, I'll put a little on Lane Kiffin, although I agree that he lays an egg usually at the big ones, but plus 12 at home, I could see Alabama winning by 10, but man, that seems like a huge number. What do you guys think?
I mean, there are four games that they could have taken L's in. They did, in fact, take L's in half of those games. This is just not a vintage Alabama team. It's the same as Brady losing to the Eagles in the Super Bowl. People, the Eagles beat the Patriots? Yeah, it was Tom Brady and a bunch of, you know, Jags, but guys. Well, I guess Gronk was out there. But, yeah, you get my point. Yeah, just because it's Nick Saban in Alabama doesn't mean – that they're a world beater every single year. They just have been for the last decade, not in 2022.
We don't do this enough. And I saw Shaq at football on Sunday, which was really fun. Shaq, obviously the Chargers thing we can apologize for, you know, injuries. But Shaq was early and aggressive on Eagles plus 170 to win that division. Like that, a clarion call to the betting window, Eagles plus 170 to win that division. So we have to pat ourselves on the back. And then, because we're not going to talk about baseball for quite a while, I would like to say, I said, bet the Phillies game one. When that number goes down, bet the Astros to win the series. That's what I did. I hope that's what our listeners did. We do have to remind people when we get it spot on.
And Hench is right there at the top of the leaderboard among the extra point staff in our season-long NFL Pick'em. You can play it on a weekly basis. Jump in for week 10. Go over to extrapoints.com. Jump into the arcade. Find the NFL Pick'em and play with us and against us. Match your wits against Kevin Hench and the rest of us. Go ahead, Spaghetti. Jump in.
And now a quick break.
Yeah, so like I was saying, I've been watching so much, been reading so much, but just not translating to either college or pro picks going correctly. So I'm doing a little bit differently this week with Tennessee, and they're playing Mizzou after their loss to Georgia. Again, this is still a very good offense with Hendon Hooker. They're scoring a ton of points a game, and I think they're going to come out firing to show, because that's kind of what college football is about, right? At this point, you have to have these showcase victories. You have to show that loss was just a one thing to forget about. So what's going to happen is they're going to come out firing. I like the first half over 29.5. I think Tennessee may score in the 30s in the first half, and then, you know, we'll see whatever else Mizzou could do. But I think it's going to be a high scoring first half, just because they want to get that off the schneid with the bad, ugly loss to Georgia. To stick with college football, Notre Dame, Navy, same kind of thing. The total is only 39.5 of the game. And Notre Dame's last three victories, they've scored over 40 points in two of those, and they scored 35 versus Clemson. They also scored 45 versus North Carolina in another victory. I know Navy is not very, very good, but I still think Navy will score. Sometimes seeing that very strange offense, that run-only offense, does give teams some struggling early on. So I do think 39.5 is pretty low, because Notre Dame covered that by themselves. So I like those totals there. Switching over to the NFL, this is another weird prop, but the Giants are going to win this game because of Saquon Barkley. His rushing total is 93.5. I think he's going to hit over that. This will be a 100-yard game for Saquon. Houston Texans cannot stop the ground game versus any team. And I think the Giants know they have to run through him, and they're going to get him right, you know, back. And they're going to send the ball anyway and win this one because he is dealing with the shoulder, not going to put him in pass blocking scenarios. So I think the Giants will win that game. And it's because of Saquon Barkley, 93.5. And the other games I like, I mean, I like the Dolphins a lot.
Hench, how crazy is that number that the Giants, given where they are at the halfway mark of the season, 4.5 at home to the Houston Texans?
And, weird, and, for, right? And for the same reason you cited with the Bucks, I'm on the Texans in that game. I feel like, something happened with the Tony surrender, the trip to Seattle. Everything seems to have settled. I just feel like, you know, it's still going to be a hugely successful season. I want Daboll to win coach of the year, but I just feel like, especially because it's so hard for them to put up big numbers. I agree with Spaghetti what kind of game it'll be. And I like Saquon, but, I just think they win by 3.
Okay. Go ahead there, Spaghetti. Talk about who I think is going to be coach of the year with your next pick here.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Giants game goes that way, but I have a hard time seeing Davis Mills come to the Meadowlands and put up a fight. But I do like the Dolphins. I love the Dolphins team. The Bears often shocked me last week at what they did versus the Dolphins defense, which I thought would have been improved. But like Tua and to not even just Tyreek Hill, but also to Waddle, like it's one of the most dynamic receiving duos statistically in NFL history, only in year one. Every game Tua has played, they've won in, I think, 3.5 is a number they could definitely cover in this game. They could seem like they could score at will. I just think every single game you're going to see the Dolphins in the high 30s, you know, and I just know teams like, especially a Browns team led by Jacoby Brissett, could really match that. So I do like the Dolphins there. News has been coming in that that Ryan Tannehill will be playing quarterback for the Titans. They had a very, very good game versus, at least the first half, versus the Chiefs. I feel like if Tannehill was actually in that game, Tennessee probably would have won. So I like and Derrick Henry, obviously, what else can you say about the guy? He never breaks down. He's been awesome. They're just riding him to victory, and I just don't love this Broncos offense. So the line moved down to Tennessee giving 3. I still think Tennessee could win that game. I'm staying away from most of the other games, but this one may be insane. But with the news that both Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow, and like they're both on the IR, and they have only played, I think, 42 combined snaps with the big four of Derek Carr, Davante Adams, Renfrow, and Waller. There's just no chemistry there. I think the Colts, weirdly, now are like, all right, guys, we got a coach who cares about the organization. He wants to be there. Jonathan Taylor is back. Also kind of breaking news that he's playing in this game. But I know that Sam Ellinger has issues. I just feel like they could still ride Jonathan Taylor to a victory. They are getting 5 points on the road. I think the Raiders are in disarray. I think Josh McDaniels is definitely on the scorching hot seat. And this is a game that I think that it should not make any sense why the Raiders would lose it, because they still are more talented, even missing those two weapons. But I still like the Colts in this game, weirdly.
Only a quarterback, though, I like the Raiders better.
I just like the under. But it is funny once that first axe falls, like that, you know, now you can fire your coach. You know, it's like, and we know there's so many firings looming, and certainly Hackett and McDaniels in that division seem like the lowest hanging fruit. Like, we gotta reset, because these are not the guys.
Yeah, it's funny to think half of the head coaches who are rookie head coaches for that team could both lose their job. That's got to be some bit of history if two head coaches in the same division got fired after 1 year.
In the meantime,
like I say.
I don't know if you guys have watched Welcome to Wrexham. Like, it's got just some delightful – and obviously I'm a soccer guy, so I love it. But Rob McElhenney goes and visits Jeff Lurie, the owner of the Eagles, and it's this great conversation – you know, where Lurie's talking about every year the fans would call for Andy Reid's head. And he was like, we went to the NFC Championship game. I'm not going to fire this guy. Like, you know, he went like kind of as long as he could without firing his coach. And then obviously Andy Reid goes to KC and wins the Super Bowl. But it is wild when you look at Staley, Hackett, and McDaniels, and you're like, oh, Andy Reid's a good coach. Like, you know, like the gap, like the fact that the gap. And, you know, obviously it's not a coincidence that He also has the best quarterback. Those two relationships feed each other, Belichick, Brady. But it is like, you know, it would be surprising. Let me say this. It wouldn't be surprising if Staley, Hackett, and McDaniels don't start the season next year.
I agree with you about that. And I do feel bad for the Chargers because it is largely owed to injuries more than anything else. I do, though. I have become a skeptic of Brandon Staley. We'll see how the second half of the season goes. It's not a great start that Mike Williams and Keenan Allen continue to struggle with injury. And that's just the tip of the iceberg for that team. Where it crosses a line from the football gods for me is if they take down Josh Allen. I mean, come on. Don't we know the story about poor Buffalo Bills fans already? That this team is now ripe. And by the way, I keep pointing it out. People can say it's an outmoded way of thinking. The results speak for themselves. You want a superstar quarterback, obviously, but you also want him on his rookie deal because starting next year, Josh Allen consumes 10% more of the cap than he consumes right now. It's like $40 million or something like that, whereas now it's like $17 million. Even those numbers could be wrong off the top of my head. The point is, this team is championship ready right now. If you now remove the essential player from that formula, shame the devil, football gods. Get into another life already. It's too much. You're picking on the same teams over and over again.
You want Justin Fields. I also think case Lamar Jackson numbers on his rookie deal, not Lamar Jackson next year, putting up Lamar Jackson on his new deal.
Right. But I do say I got talked. I thought the Vikes, I was ready to ride with the Vikes, but then I got talked out of it today. I'm now on Buffalo for 1 week. They can't ride Case Keenum for 6 weeks or through to the Super Bowl, but that guy has been a good, steady vet. You can plug him in. That defense is good enough that they can rally around that. And
what's it down to? 3.5? What's it down to?
3.5 is the last I saw it. Yeah, I think I like the Bills in that spot in the circle the wagons effect in the short term. Dolphins laying 4. I get it with the Browns, and it's easy to get to be a prisoner of the moment or look at what we just saw last week. Hey, the Bears ran all over the Dolphins. Yeah, that was a lot of Justin Fields doing that off script. Obviously, we know that Nick Chubb is going to have the ball handed off in his belly on first and second downs more often than not. The Dolphins will be ready for that and will more than offset it with the unstoppable pass catchers that they have. So I like the Dolphins confidently
the
there.
That's the Chubb Cowboys, ball, right? Chubb Bowl? Chubb v. Chubb?
Chubb Bowl, yep. Chubb on Chubb crime. At some point, we'll go down there. I could give you the Cowboys. I'd make a case there, but I'm going to instead say take the over Cowboys in Green Bay in Lambeau. I think that the Cowboys defense ain't jive, but I think that Rodgers and company show up, put some points on the board in front of the home crowd. That 4.5, 5, I mean, visiting Dallas. I do think I've decided it, though. I think Dallas is going to the Super Bowl out of the NFC, if not them, the Niners. So lay that 7 that Hench already mentioned. I also like the Lions +3 here. Interesting spot for them and their foe. And then Sal made this his outright dog of the week. He is picking straight up the Commies against the Eagles. He says the Commies are going to win that one. I'm not going to get that nuts with it because I'm not required to. I'll just tell you +11 is a lot of points. 4 out of the last 5 double-digit dogs have gotten over. The only one who didn't was the Steelers against the Eagles in Philadelphia 2 weeks ago. That's not something to laugh about.
I'm only laughing because I was so confident in them when they got that huge number.
Well, that was the only one that came through. I think that double-digit favorites at this point, it's too, especially given what the Commies are doing. What are we looking at, everybody? They're playing well, reasonably well. If they hadn't done the Carson Wentz mistake, as I counseled them against.
I love that, by the way. It's just because, you know, you've been high on this guy, and he does make a difference. And, you know, the Robinson Gibson, like, that's a nice little two-headed running back situation they have there. And, of course, the outside counsel that the Commies hire, you know, to defend their scumbaggery. Of course, I'm sure those are scumbags too. So it's like, they invoke Robinson getting shot as their response to the DA in DC. They like, hey, Why don't you keep our players from getting shot instead of filing consumer protection? Like, kind of apples and oranges there, guy. And so then Robinson's agent has to respond immediately with like, hey, dip, that is not acceptable to invoke my client's, you know, near fatal gunshot experience because you have bad PR all the time. It's just like every day another headache for that.
It's so true.
Inflicted wounds.
It is like it, Dan Snyder's commies are like, they're like pepper spray getting shot off. Like anyone who comes within the same building is going to be worse for the wear for it. Like the attorney wrote that? How did that get out to the attorney? Like who? He's not even with the organization. How did that statement get out? It's so weird. But the point is that the whole thing is sullied. And on some level, I guess we should be celebrating Ron Rivera more than we are that somehow this team has been on a little bit of a heater amidst all this ridiculous.
Pepper spray, anyway, spray would be a better nickname for this team.
The pepper sprays. I like that. Yeah, they should do some 21st century weaponry. You know, like they don't do that. Like the
tasers. Yeah, like the tasers.
Yeah, like the taser. Mm-hmm. I like that. All right, listen. We've said it all, and I don't think we need
the predator drones.
We've gotten you right.
The predator drones.
That's better than the commies in D.C. Point is, our nation's capital should be ashamed of itself. Between the Capitals' turquoise uniforms and the football team that they put out for us to have to watch, it's a disgrace.
Hey,
and by the way,
maybe when
same goes for you, Wizards.
When Bezos buys me, do whatever you want. Like this is a good, football name, but also great military hardware. The Washington Warthogs. It's got hogs in the name. It's got hogs, a little homage to the glory days. The Warthogs. What's a Warthog?
It really is. That really is ideal. I love it. That's you nailed it there. We've gotten you right before the weekend even has arrived here. Go and place those bets. Or if you want to be a creep, go ahead and fade us. Either way, we don't care. Just play along with us. ExtraPoints.com in the arcade. NFL Pick'em is always available for you. Great stuff from Kevin Hench. As always, we thank him and make sure you check out all the other great shows on the Extra Points Network, including Eddie Spaghetti and Jen Piacenti's Waiver Wired. We'll be back with Mr. Lister, our list-based sports trivia game, next Tuesday night at 7 p.m., as we do each week there. And all the other great shows, like I mentioned, on the Extra Points Network. Track them down. You'll be better for it. And until the other side of the weekend, where we'll try to figure out what we got wrong and make sense of what's going to happen coming up. Thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.